committee meeting. All right, now I will call to order the meeting of the TCEQ Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. So for the record, I'm Bob Adair, and I will now recognize the other members on the phone. This is virtual only, so I'll call the roll. Charles Allred. Roland Beaver. Michelle Carter. Lloyd Graham. Hopefully we have some more. Adam Haynes.
Here.
Good. Justin Highland.
Here.
Hugh Landrum.
Here.
Sorry. Martha Landwehr. Bill Longley.
Here.
Greg Maxim. Mike Nancy. Cyrus Reed.
Here.
Okay. I'm showing six of us. Do we need to wait another minute or two for maybe someone else to join? We don't have a quorum as of now. We're not going to make any decisions today, so that I think it's okay for us to talk.
Michelle Carter is here.
Okay, good. Michelle.
Greg Maxim.
All right, now we have a quorum. Thanks, Greg.
You bet.
All right. So as usual, I'll just say the policy for public comments. We don't have anything significant on the agenda today, but we welcome comments from the general public and any comments from the committee before we get started on the agenda. All right. I was made aware that there's some additions to TCEQ staff for the tax relief program, so I'll defer to someone in TCEQ staff who has taken that assignment to introduce some people. And by the way, normally I'd rather be there to introduce myself in person to you, but glad to have you. Go ahead.
We'll do that next time.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Elizabeth Sartain with the Air Quality Planning Section, and I'm happy to introduce two new members of the Prop 2 team. First up is Bob Gifford, and he's been with the TCEQ since 2000. He worked in the Pollution Prevention Section, where he first performed on-site pollution prevention assessments, followed by environmental management system audits for sites throughout Texas. Bob then worked in the Stationary Source Programs team, writing air rules for stationary sources from 2009 to 2019. Bob then spent 4 years with the air modeling team, preparing data for photochemical modeling and interpreting results. Then on July 1st this year, Bob returned to the Stationary Source Programs team as a team leader. The team contains the Rule Writing Group and the Property Tax Relief Group. Bob earned a PhD in meteorology and three other degrees from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, including a master's in air pollution management. We're excited to have Bob as team leader.
So you can refer to me as the other Bob.
Yeah. I was hoping Dr. Bob, welcome.
Good
morning, this is Charles
too.
Allred. Good morning, this is Charles Allred.
So, hey Charles, I'll add you to the list. Okay, great. All right,
okay.
Elizabeth, I think there was
there's one more. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, just one more. Melissa Altman is an Austin native. She and her husband Scott grew up in the same neighborhood and have been married since 2014. They have a six-year-old son, Logan, who loves to play baseball and was named after Wolverine, and a four-and-a-half-year-old daughter, London, who loves to make up her own songs and dances. She currently lives in Bastrop County, where she has a cat, two dogs, and eight chickens. Melissa received a BBA from St. Edward's University in Austin and has worked for the state of Texas for 25 years. Melissa started working with the Prop 2 program on July 24th, and we're excited to have her on the team. Hi.
All right. Welcome. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you.
Great to have you in the group, and we'll get to know you a little more later. So, okay. The next item on the list is, I was curious about the, and I think the other members will be interested in knowing too, to the extent you can you share us the status of the nominations for advisor committee, realizing that TCQ normally does a memo, or recommendations to the commissioners. So if you can't disclose that to us now, we understand, but if you can, to the extent you can, please share with us an update.
Sure. So this is Elizabeth Sartain again. Nominations for each position with a term ending at the end of this year were received, and we anticipate presenting the recommendations to the commissioners for their consideration on December 13th, 2023, this year.
Okay, so there should be a memo coming out before that's available to the public or not?
There should be. Give me just a moment, and I'll get that date for you when we expect it.
And I'm taking notes. So you said the December 13th is when you plan to recommend it for the commissioners for their agenda?
Yes, that's correct. And let's see.
Okay.
Looks like we expect to have the memo on November 22nd available.
Okay. All right. And that's just to clarify, that's when the committee will have access to knowing who has been nominated.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the rest of the memo. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any okay. questions on this item from anyone? All right. We'll now go to other business. Is there any old business that needs to come before the committee? Any new business?
Hey, this is Cyrus.
Yeah.
Just sort of a general comment and question. Just a reminder, there's, and I know this because I'm involved in some of these, but there's a number of new EPA regulations, and we all know regulations take time to be implemented, and there's usually, legal challenges. But, I'm thinking of, obviously, the methane rule that we've discussed before. We're expecting it to be released sometime this fall, which will require a big implementation in Texas. I'm sure there'll be challenges. But there's also, the new CCR rules for coal plants on combustion waste, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to mention that we should keep our eyes on that. And I don't know the extent to that will require new pollution control equipment, or there'll be things that are already on the list that are already exempt. But just something to watch. And then more of a comment question. Unless I guess the greenhouse gas rules go into effect, which sort of iffy, I don't think these are requirements, but with the new federal money, there's a lot of companies, I'm sure Bob, you're aware, that are, like Occidental and others that are investing in new technologies like direct air capture, carbon sequestration and green hydrogen development. I don't really know if those things can qualify, since there's not a requirement that people do that. It's more of an incentive approach, but I think it's something we might want to, and I know there's that K list, but I'm just thinking we might want to have that on a future agenda, just to gain an understanding both for the people who are taxed and the people who tax, like what does it mean if Occidental does a big direct air capture? Is that pollution control? Is it a business? I don't know. It's confusing, right? But just a thought that we might want to, I know that, NASI and others have talked about this before, but I think it'd be good to get ahead of it, because a lot of this stuff is going to be coming in the next, 3 to 4 years. So just some comments to watch out for new regs, and then how do we deal with equipment that's designed to get carbon out of the air if there's not an underlying environmental requirement. And maybe there will be, so I don't know. Just putting that on in our things to think about.
Thanks for saying that, Cyrus. We have, as you are right. I've been talking about it, and others in the industry have talked about this issue a significant amount of time. Just wondering how to raise it and when. I'm also working with a group in Louisiana on CCUS property tax, how that's handled, and in both states, the question by a lot of companies is, we're modeling property taxes for these projects, and how should we handle it? Should it be exempt? Are there other options? So anyway, it's an unknown. And I appreciate you saying that. So I'll certainly take that under advisement, and I'll commit to discuss that with the industry side more, the industry representatives and Texoga and Tara and others, and we'll consider that for another meeting.
Yes, sounds good. I was also thinking. If the administration has a policy goal of reducing carbon, I guess that's not an environmental regulation. That's more of a policy goal. But to the extent there's any requirements, then that bumps it up to another level. And then even how to deal with it. Like if Occidental is successful with this direct carbon and they're not using it for oil, but they're using it to sell to other companies for carbon credit, like how does that work? Would you have to subtract that, the benefit from the cost? It seems complicated and something we should think about.
Yep, I agree, thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's Adam Haynes, Conference of Urban Counties. Cyrus, I appreciate you bringing that up. And then one other factor to make sure we add in and make sure that the industry and business community is aware of it. But for certain, especially in the early stages on these large projects, we'll want to back out taxpayer-funded investments from any kind of tax incentive that is granted, because certainly we're not going to give a property tax incentive when companies are getting taxpayer-funded investments.
Adam, just to clarify, are you taking a position there shouldn't be any, or just that portion of the taxpayer-funded?
Oh, no. I'd have to see some of the, backup. I'm certainly open to considering some kind of property tax abatements on this equipment, but we've got to at least, from a starting point, we're going to have to back out the taxpayer funded investments from the value.
What is the taxpayer funded investment?
Well, the basic definition would be the monies that taxpayers are providing to the companies to begin the investments. That's free government money. That's free. That's cheese. That's peanut butter. For those of you that are old enough. And so we certainly can't give shouldn't, in my opinion, and I'm one vote, but certainly shouldn't give a property tax abatement when they're getting taxpayer funded investments on that equipment.
Any other comments? As we research this, I can imagine there can be a more of a lively discussion. I mean, we all have our positions, or we all have different perspectives, and I get that. And I'll acknowledge I have most of the industry perspective because it's most of my contacts. So, but I am willing to hear others. Any other comments?
Yeah, and it'd just be interesting to, as part of this, to look at what's in Texas statutes right now, because I know there's a K list that includes some of this stuff, but we've never had a lot of applications based on that. So I guess we should go back and look at that and see what's in statute right now.
Okay. All right. Welcome other comments, including from the public. I'll pause to give that opportunity.
Bob, this okay. is Roland Bieber.
Yeah.
When do you anticipate putting that on the agenda?
I'm not going to make that decision without talking to others. So,
okay.
I'm weaseling out a little bit, but let me check just to before I answer that. I think it'd probably be wise if I did that just to get some feedback.
Good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Any other comments? Any other new business we should discuss? All right. I will hear a motion to adjourn then. Anyone?
I make the motion, Greg Maxim.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Is that with you?
Yeah,
second by you, is that right? Okay, Phil.
By Bill.
Bill, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Those opposed, no. Okay. We are adjourned. And as a closing comment, I will say that we are a group of 13 members and we welcome discussion, even private discussions before we get to these public meetings and as long as we're not in a quorum. And I welcome that from the public too. Welcome calls to any member. Okay, thanks everyone. We'll talk soon.
Right. Thank you.
Thank y'all. Have a good weekend. Gig 'em.
Thanks.
Yeah.